The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 588. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, guys, we have returned. We'll see if the other guys show up or not. They know what time they're supposed to be here. I don't have to tell them nothing. They know.
I mean, sometimes, you know, what happens, like, whenever you throw out the call, like, at least for the Discord thing,
yeah.
Sometimes, like, I usually get a reminder, like, yeah. I usually get a little, like, ring, but sometimes it doesn't happen.
Excuse me? Interesting.
Weird. Like, I get a little, like, it's like you're calling me. I get, like, literally my phone thing.
Yeah, that's how it works, yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't happen.
But at the same time, we've been doing this for like 14 years.
We know.
Oh, man. All right, man. So we got some questions, and we'll answer them.
What's the general vibe? We're kind of getting like a little bit of Summer Games Festy stuff, right?
Kind of, but, you know. Well, the conversation is mostly about Xbox for obvious reasons.
Oh. But, man, you a bunch of bots.
All right, man, let's start us off here. And I put these in order, you know, of Xbox news. So I've split some of the questions up by people. Anyway, Illustrated Dio. And this is also a question that Gaming Engineer asked. So I'm kind of combining them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm going to ask both of them back to back. This from Dio, and then I'll go to Gaming Engineer. If Gears of War E-Day fails to meet sales expectations, what will happen to the Coalition and Xbox as a brand? That's Dio's question. Then Gaming Engineer asks, if the leak about the Gears of War budget is true and it's around $400 million, is this a make-or-break title for the Coalition? Without PS5 sales and without this being on Game Pass day one, I would be shocked if it reaches 2 million copies. That would result in a loss of several hundred million for the studio. Yeah, okay. So, I don't know if you heard that one. It's basically that the game costs around $400 million. I can believe that. Here's the thing. I say this all the time. I do not like Jason Schreier as a person. I think he's kind of slimy, but he's a good reporter. And he actually has some really good videos on his personal YouTube channel, which is kind of funny considering he was making fun of Yang for being a YouTuber.
He called Yang a provocateur.
Yeah. Now he's being a provocateur.
But I mean, it's like, what is it? Like, I'll say one thing, like, you know, if you're supposedly reporting the news, what you're doing isn't really any different.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but the point is, he had a video explaining why budgets get so high. And basically, the way he broke it down is a game roughly costs $6 million a month. You take that over the course of 6 or 7 years, that's how you get insane budgets, you know? Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if this wasn't accurate. I think it is $400 million. So if the game costs that much to make and it's supposed to be exclusive, which is on Xbox, the lowest selling console, and PC, that's rough. That's gonna be rough to make up.
It's a difficult one because it's like, yeah, like they spent all this money on there, and then, you know, then, you know, the rumors we heard that they pulled the thing off, pulled E-Day off on the last minute. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I think there will be a multi-console e-version.
I think there has to be.
I think it'll just be down the line. Kind of like the way PlayStation used to do the little late bloomer thing, you know, throw it on PC when all the sales have sort of come in, try to get a little bit of extra shot in the arm, because it's obviously proven that them doing that sort of stuff previously, right, has worked out for them. Like, that game, the what was it, the Forza game that just came out, that's not a new game.
No, it's not. It's very old, and it did very well.
It did very well. I mean, it's like you look at, what was it, the other one, the you know, the pirate game did okay. The, you know, the other game, the Honey I Shrunk the Kids game did pretty okay. I don't know what the numbers were on Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I don't know what they were.
I think in general the franchise, you know, shot itself in the foot, and nothing that game could have done would have ever really regained it. But it is definitely a good game.
Yeah, it is. Carlos, what's your take, bro?
I mean, 400 million doesn't seem like too much, considering that this is a tentpole franchise for the entire brand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense that one of their top mainline games should cost, you know, a lot. You know, the thing that I get mad about is, you know, they're spending a lot of money on other franchises that don't really deserve it. Hmm. But for Gears, it makes sense. But then, you know, we go back to the conversation you guys were having. I mean, does it make sense to only release this on the Xbox for the console portion of it? And it's a Game Pass first day only game. It's not like Call of Duty where you need to pay for it. This one, you actually can play day one on Game Pass without you know, purchasing the game. So, man, business wise, I don't think this is gonna do pretty good for them. You know, usually, and I like the fact that they're, you know, trying to be more exclusive with their titles. You know. You know, pumping out their chest and shit with their games. Mm. But I don't think right now is the perfect time. Right now is you're releasing this for a console that's, you know, last place, that's pretty much already almost obsolete at this point. So I don't think right now is the best time for making Gears of War E-Day exclusive.
Yeah, just an exclusive on there.
Yeah, and then the fact that, you know, apparently, and it does seem this way, that this was done last minute. And in my opinion, this part's my opinion, done so to appease fanboys on Twitter, very bad move, especially if a game costs that much money. And I agree with you, Carlos. I think 400 million is about right for a game like this. So, yeah, I'm just going to say it's a very stupid decision, you know, to have this just on one system. I would say try exclusives on something that didn't cost you so much goddamn money. And here's the thing. If Xbox was in a healthier state, then yeah, keep it exclusive, obviously, because you know it's going to sell systems. This is not guaranteed to move anything. Like you said, Carlos, Xbox guys are already used to getting shit for free, you know?
Yeah. Mm. And here's another thing. You could have done a Trojan horse move here. You could have done Gears of War E-Day, day and date, first day on PlayStation 5. And PlayStation fans are going to, you know, fall in love with the franchise because they didn't get to do it with the collection, or at least the first game that got released there. But now it's a new game, you know, PlayStation fans buy it, let's say 2 million or 3 million in sales, maybe even more. Maybe it's a huge success on PlayStation. And then after that, when the Project Helix comes out and the new Gears of War comes out, then you got the power move. You're like, oh, PlayStation fans, you love this game. Well, the next one's only coming out on the Xbox, on the Helix.
Yep, you got the hooks in them, yeah.
You got the hooks, but now you don't. And you can't even make a huge profit off of your own console or your own platform because it's all tied up to Game Pass.
Shit. Yeah. Rich, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, let me start by saying this is a very interesting question. I figured that there was going to be some questions about E-Day because everyone has been talking about this. So first and foremost, the 400 million, I do believe that's accurate because, again, this was not the game the Coalition was working on initially. They were working on the next Gears. And of course, myself and Adam Vale, you know, we was curious how they were going to tell that story because something very interesting happens at the end of that last game where you have to make an important choice, which leads to one character or the other not making it. So for them to decide to go back and forth then to do this, I'm sure there was a lot of time and money spent. So I do believe that 400 million thing is accurate. The question about whether or not they're going to make all that money back, I would say it's not very likely that they will. PlayStation 5, can it eventually come to PlayStation 5? Yeah, I think that's going to happen. Like a little timed exclusive type of deal. They just don't want to reveal that quite yet. But the thing I found interesting about that question, you asked, you know, if it's a flop, are the Coalition done?
Yeah.
And here's what my response is to that. I don't think so, because clearly what Xbox has said is that they want to focus on the bigger titles. When they had the interview, Asha and Matt Ball had that interview recently. They said they want to focus more on bigger titles and move away from the smaller niche stuff if need be. I think if it came down to them having to close the Coalition, they may close a smaller studio instead of the Coalition. This is just my opinion.
I agree with that.
Because, but again, we have to wait and see what happens. But I will finish by saying this. I agree with a lot of things that Carlos said, but very controversial answers, because we all know that Carlos is buying an Xbox for this game in October.
So, another Xbox. Very interesting.
Oh. Well, Rich, that's a very observant point of view. I will say this. I am looking forward to playing Gears of War E-Day, but on my PC.
Uh-oh.
You know, play anywhere.
Excuse me? Yes. Yeah, Carlos, I will also be playing on my PC as well. Because Xbox has taught me I don't need to play. I don't need their consoles to play their games. Just how it is.
Is there any questions about the Hellblade?
Side note. I think I did see a question about the Hellblade thing.
Actually, it was Blade, not Hellblade. None of our fans care about that game.
I'm gonna say this. It's only been 2 years, and they're supposedly doing a full on game.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty impressive.
If it's dropping this year, that would be impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder, the interesting thing is, I mean, Hellblade 2 took a long time to come out.
7 years it took.
So I wonder if a lot of the stuff that is coming on the new one might have been ideas that they worked on.
It could be that situation where it's like there was stuff that they had planned for 2, but you know, also they also don't use full teams to develop their games. The Hellblade games always usually they have like 86 people that work there. So it's like I think this for this new Hellblade game, it's the whole team working on it, as opposed to them being split off into other smaller teams. But anyway,
yeah.
Here's what you did.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
What's up, Chris?
What's up?
So you know what? I'm going to throw the first, because you missed the first question, so I'm going to throw it back at you, because we were at the tail end of it anyway, so I want to get your thoughts. Basically, the questions are about, you know, the rumor is that Gears of War E-Day is, you know, cost $400 million to make, and since it's only going to be an exclusive, and if the game doesn't sell well, what's going to happen to the Coalition? What's going to happen to Xbox as a brand? What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, that's... as Rich would say, that's a phenomenal question, because there's a lot riding on that. I mean, Gears is one of the biggest IPs Xbox has. It's Halo and Gears are like the top ones, and Forza, right? So Microsoft is going to be looking heavily at how that performs. But there's two factors. There's multiple factors. I shouldn't just say two. There's re-engaging people who have lapsed from Xbox. They've canceled Game Pass. Maybe they have their own Dutch and they're not turning it on. Maybe they bought a PS5, moved all their Call of Duty and multiplayer stuff to PlayStation. Maybe they're playing on PC. Whatever it is, they're not engaging with Xbox like they were. The console's not selling, so they're not getting new engagement. They have low monthly active users, so they have to hope that this game sells and it piques enough interest that not only do they re-engage lapsed consumers, that it encourages sales, it encourages Game Pass subscriptions, it encourages reactivation and game time on Xbox. So there's a lot riding on it. It's heavy. So I didn't like the timing that I think Nutella put out a statement about Xbox and, you know, the viability of the brand and all that stuff. I don't like its timing, because it puts a lot of pressure on it in a short term. Right, he's looking for a short-term boost. And the thing is that everything is so damaged at this point with Xbox. I don't think that Gears of War can shoulder a boost that whatever they expect. I don't know what he's expecting, but their chips are not coming in on multiple fronts, right? You still have Windows, you still have Azure Enterprise, still have all this stuff that's the bigger part of Microsoft, but they rolled heavily on AI. That's not coming through for them. And then you have Xbox, which has been consistently lagging now, we found out, for years. And then you have this game that has a tremendous budget that needs to not only outperform that, it can't just make back its money. It has to be selling like close to $1 billion, right? It has to bring back customers. It has to sell systems. That's a tall order. And if it flops, yeah, you may see Coalition shut down since that's the only thing they're focused on. And Xbox as a brand, I don't know what happens to it. I honestly don't know. I don't know if they sell it. I don't know if they try to just turn it into a service. Like the entire thing goes live service. They drop Helix. That doesn't materialize, you know. There could be nightmare scenarios. It could do well. I hope it does well, but in the event it doesn't, there's a lot riding on it. So I don't want to be doom and gloom like, oh, Xbox immediately fails, but there could be more downsizing. Coalition could see its doors shutter. And, you know, from there, I honestly don't know what they do.
Yeah. And then the other thing we discussed, and I want to get your take on this too. In my opinion, given how much this, here's the thing, even if the $400 million isn't correct, this game is very expensive. It doesn't matter how much it actually costs. Very expensive game, right? I think it was stupid to make this an exclusive for a system that's in third place and changing your mind at the last minute to appease fanboys on Twitter. You know, what's your take on that?
In the short term, it was a bad move. I do think that I haven't changed my position that exclusives are important, but to your point, you're absolutely correct. This was not the time to do it. This was not the title to do it with, especially if you need this title to overperform. You needed the PlayStation market, and you needed the. Do they have the PC market? Is this coming to PC?
Yeah, it is.
Or is it just okay? Yeah, yes. They have that, but you needed the PlayStation market. You really do, because you have. They have data. I don't understand. You have lapsed customers who went to PlayStation. They just took their Call of Duty or their FIFA or whatever, and they went to PlayStation when they just felt like they weren't getting value out of the Xbox. You have lapsed customers, and PlayStation is a huge market. I mean, I read the numbers every month. They're monthly active users. This is the magic word now. It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. That is the magic number. They're pushing 130 million monthly active users on PlayStation. That's a huge market. And you had it. You have deals with Sony to port your other stuff. That is an opportunity you don't miss, right? What you should do is you have time to steer the ship, because you still have Project Helix and you still have stuff in the pipeline. Although some of the stuff in the pipeline I ain't too excited for, Fable. But you can plan other stuff. You can plan to go exclusive with Helix, right? Yeah. But right now, to immediately slam the brakes on and exclusive, like right now, we're doing it right now. Like that, no, that's not a good call, because you put too much pressure on this title to overperform. You're basically saying if it doesn't overperform, it's a failure. It has to re-engage customers. It has to pull people back into Xbox. It has to pull in new customers. It has to increase console sales. It has too much riding on it. And I don't, it's not I'm sorry, it's not Grand Theft Auto. It's Gears. It's not going to do that. So to cut off the Sony market, and you already have a low market yourself. You have a low pool of people to sell this to. And so I think it is a mistake in the short term.
Yeah, that's my take. And I'm glad you said, because I agree. My stance on exclusives hasn't changed. I still think you need exclusives. But in this case... No. Not listen, exclusives are great when you're doing well. Xbox, you're not doing well. You know, so very stupid to listen to fanboys.
It's a thing, because it's like I think this was said before, it was like you need something to direct people to. You shouldn't right now, the to be honest, it's almost like the game is lost. Now, if we were saying that the new console was going to be coming out pretty soon, right, then that would make sense to try to drive people over to the new console with an E-Day. But we obviously know that this is for this generation of consoles. So what are we doing? I get it. Like, you know, the thing is that they need more than two games for people to drop whatever they're doing on the other console to come over. You know what I mean? Like, they just went, oh, hey, look, we got these two exclusives. I'm like, okay, second one, I'm sure, you know, as interesting as it looks, I don't think that's going to be a title that's going to pull people over.
No, I agree.
You need, they at least need 10 games to do that.
Yeah. And also the way that they, I think I talked about this the previous episode, but the way that they pumped out their chest when they announced the exclusivity, it makes it like clearly seem like they're getting it for cheap points. You know, it's like, you know, when PlayStation did the whole, you know, the PS4 is $400, that was a way to do it, you know, but this, especially not for a game like Gears, because like Chris mentioned, this isn't GTA 6. Not only that, but franchises, when you get a late stage franchise, they don't innovate anymore.
Yeah.
They're kind of what they are.
Also, diminishing returns from every single Gears of War that has come after the transition from Epic Games and Cliff. So, Gears is an attractor, but not nearly as much of an attractor as when you get closer to the source.
Yeah. All right. Next question, also about E-Day. And Chris, this one's more geared towards you, but obviously any one of us could chime in, but I want you to answer first. From Jolly Yellow Nerd, he goes, with all the chatter about removing mention of PlayStation in relation to Gears of War E-Day, Chris made me think of something when talking about contracts and obligations. If there was already a contract and agreement in place, couldn't Sony just run the materials anyway?
I mean, yeah, they could. If they, if the ink was already dry on the contracts and they already cut the footage on PS5 Pro, the only reason they didn't do that is because there must have been some hell of a conversation before Summer Games Fest that made them stop. That made them take it out of the state of play or whatever. So there's definitely, and usually what I mean by the conversation where it gets heavy is there's usually legal teams involved in there, right? They start getting into that, then everything put the brakes on, because you have, even though Sharma is technically breaking a contract with them by doing that, she still has the weight of Microsoft behind her. They still have massive legal teams. They'll get involved. Their teams start talking to each other. You know, and they kind of compromise, like, oh, well, maybe we'll discuss other things and whatever. And then you're in this nebulous state where you're going to try to renegotiate your deals, which is not good. I'm sure Sony was pissed at that, because what else are you going to negotiate against? You already ported Forza, you ported Flight Simulator, you ported everything else, right? So I don't know what you're going to bargain with, but there obviously was that talk involved, and then that got Sony to stop. Is it a good thing? No, you don't want to do that, and I'm sure there's going to be repercussions for that. I mean, I don't think Sony wants to quickly go back to court, right, to take that far, but they could. They have every right to go, we're just going to sue you because you violated the contract. It's a breach of contract. This is completely unprecedented. We're going to go to court for this, to hold on to this game. If Jim Ryan was still in charge, he probably would. There probably would be. That's not off the table, but I think, it's a bad move, and you can't do that at the 11th hour of, you know, you start marketing this game. It's going to be revealed. Sony has footage of it. Tell them they can't show it, right? That's, you know, that's not good business. That's I think Tony's right. She's listening to fanboys, and they're making these rash decisions. Mm-hmm. These rash decisions come with legal and financial circumstances. You know, it's not just making fanboys happy, because now they're petitioning to cut online multiplayer cost. They want to play on Xbox for free. I can see this. They're like, oh, it should be like PC. I shouldn't have to pay for Game Pass to play online. But that's not what they're asking for, right? So are you going to listen to them there? You're going to be like, ah, yeah, okay, online multiplayer is free. They're going to make demands. You already have a business model centered around online multiplayer and subscriptions. You can't just cut it. But, you know, if you're listening to them that far and you cut a deal with Sony, maybe who knows? They're going to push. You gave an inch, you gave a couple inches, now here comes the mile, right?
Well, that ain't going to happen anytime soon, especially when Nadella said the last time. It's like, we're not taking advantage of Xbox enough.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is don't fuck with Sony. Remember what happened with Nintendo? They're still hating on them, you know, after Nintendo fucked them over. So they're probably very not happy about this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, anybody else want to jump in on that? I think Chris put it pretty well.
I agree with everything that was just said.
All right. Moving on here. Dumeke. It's another rumor that's been floating around. One of the many rumors floating around is that Microsoft has considered spinning Xbox off as a standalone brand and possibly selling it. Yes, we've heard this one before. If they did sell it and another company picked up Xbox, do you think it would become a popular brand again? Is the problem with Xbox that it's a Microsoft brand, or is it the Xbox brand is just too tarnished to be successful? I'm going to quote the meme. Why not both? You know?
Why not
I think it's both. I think Microsoft has tarnished it, and Xbox has tarnished itself, you know? And I said this. I know some Xbox fanboys didn't like when I said this a while ago, but I still think it's true. If Xbox were its own independent entity, it would have shut down years ago.
Yeah.
The only reason it's still alive is because of Big Daddy Pimp Xbox, Microsoft. That is the only reason.
What have we said for years? The Xbox's biggest exclusive is their fucking their purse.
Yep, that's it. You know, so yeah, I think, I mean, it would be interesting if they spin it off, but then it begs the question, what is an Xbox game, right? Because think about it. Xbox didn't buy Activision. Microsoft bought Activision. Microsoft bought fucking Bethesda, you know? So what is Xbox? Just Gears and Forza and Halo, right? And are those franchises enough? Forza, maybe. But, you know, Gears, we saw what happened with the last game. Didn't do so well. It was a remake. So that's probably that. Halo's been in the dumps, you know?
Yeah, more like an HD remaster,
a
lazy. No, you know what it is? It was a port. That was. It wasn't even HD remaster.
But even if we go before that, Gears of War 5 didn't do that well. Halo, we know about, you know, the whole Craig incident.
They shot themselves in the foot. They were already burning their most iconic franchise. So
I don't think Xbox would survive on its own.
I don't. Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be like they would definitely have a lot more to lose, and maybe they wouldn't have been lackadaisical as they currently are when it comes to, you know, coming up with, you know, doing titles. In other words, I feel like over 20 years we've been talking about Gears and Halo. You know, sometimes that shit runs out. Sometimes, you know, there's something called in wrestling, it's called go away heat. In other words, maybe they need to go away for a little while for something else to step in and you know, get them on gear again. Because again, you only have two games that are really your identity. Maybe Forza is part of that. Really?
Yeah. A Syrian Air Force says Microsoft bought the Gears IP. Okay. Yeah. See,
yeah, what does
Xbox have?
What does that matter that they bought the Gears IP? They also bought they also had the Halo IP. They haven't really done anything. And when they bought those two things, they absolutely shat the bed with every single title that came out after them.
Yeah, but that just goes to prove the point that their biggest IPs, quote unquote, Xbox doesn't own. Microsoft owns them. So if Xbox were to go on its own, what would they have?
Well, I mean, the thing is that it depends on because everything right now is all being under the Xbox division.
Yeah.
Right? Like even the Bethesda shit, it's all under Xbox, right?
Yep.
But like, yeah, like if they were to spin it off onto its into its own subsidiary, well, you know, that is a possibility, right? Like some studios do that. Like I think for a while, I think PlayStation was like that, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Where it was its own company.
You mean independent of Sony?
No, it was a Sony owned company, but it's a separate subsidiary company.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure about that. But PlayStation could survive on its own. You know, it's holding up Sony. It's holding up all of Sony right now. You know,
yeah, ever since since the rest of their divisions have been shitting the bed.
Yeah,
they can't afford to have a PlayStation do shit.
No, they can't. You know. And they've been lucky. People just view them as the default system, you know.
especially when you have the head of Sony saying PlayStation's an empty box.
Shit.
So
yeah, Chris, you're gonna hear, man. What are your thoughts?
Wait, I lost my place here.
Yeah, it was, you know, just about what would happen if Microsoft lets Xbox become its own thing.
Oh yeah, I mean. I think you're right. I think Manny's point is valid. If you, it would be pretty messy for Microsoft because, like you said, they own the IPs, the brands, the studios. It's really all under them, right? They would have to mash Activision and Coalition and 343 and divest the IPs and give them to Xbox and right. And there you go. You're your own company. Yeah, they've been a sink. Like the thing is, like PlayStation is always bringing in a third or more of the revenue of Sony, right? At any given time, any given report I've done, what are they over 30%, 33%, 35%? I mean, they are the moneymaker for Sony. That Xbox can't say that. Xbox is a sink. It's a money sink. It is the lagging part of Microsoft.
Didn't Nadella say that too? That like they basically have not made any money if they've just been sticking money into it
in the last 5 years. Yeah. So yeah, they're just it's actually an albatross, right? And if he looks at it like that, and if he divests it, how would Xbox fly on its own? You have longtime fans abandoning it, and the only way they can revitalize it is complete restructuring or re-strategizing. But I think pulling the exclusives back too soon, that's tripping it up. You know, it's tough to revitalize. And if they spin it off, I think it will fail within a year. You won't have Xbox anymore. They might do what I suggest. I mean, they might, if things get bad, just there won't be a Helix. They'll probably shutter Coalition. They'll probably shutter 343. They would outsource the IPs to other studios. They might keep Bethesda, right? They might, if they're still profitable, they may keep them. Activision they'll keep because there's still subscriptions going through them. But everything else, they'll probably and they have their own. Microsoft Game Studio making a flight simulator to probably keep them. Everything else will just be shut down, you know, divested, sold, and then just turn into a live service. I think that may be the way to go. But if they spin it off, I think it will fail like almost immediately.
Yeah. What do you think, Carlos?
Yeah. If Xbox decides to spin off on its own, it's going to die within the year. The only thing that I'm wondering is which company can afford, number one, afford to take in something like Xbox, and number two, be successful at it. And I don't think there's anybody. It's like doing what Xbox did to all the other companies that it messed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's an inception of messing up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go, Rich.
Let me stop Carlos right there. He asks, who can afford to buy Xbox? What about Saudi Arabia, right? They want to have a stronghold in gaming. I'm not saying it will be successful because I don't want to see Rehad season. Every time I start a game, you see an advertisement. I don't want to see that, no. But they definitely can afford to buy Xbox if it was up for sale.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they would. Yeah. I mean, they would. Now we have to have Master Chief Ronaldo on either. Or, you know.
Salvador Ganachi.
Salvador Ganachi.
Oh man,
he's gonna be made put into those games. I mean, that's a good point. Xbox is a pretty significant portion of American culture, so I'm pretty sure they'd be ripe for the taking. There's also companies like Amazon that kind of wants to do games. Apple kind of does their own toe dip as well. Sony can't afford Xbox.
No.
Tencent, I don't know. It'll be difficult. I just don't think that they'll survive.
They overpaid for Bungie.
That's
oh yeah,
right.
Oh man, you know, previous Xbox fling. Yep.
Yeah, Rich, what are your thoughts, bro?
It's okay. Microsoft or die.
Yeah, Microsoft or die. Yeah. What do you say, Rich?
Yeah, Tony, you made the comment earlier. Why not both? Right, to answer the question. Yes, Xbox has a tarnished reputation. They will never get out of that. And I'm convinced of that. It doesn't matter. Like, to quote Phil Spencer, if it doesn't matter if we release a 11 out of 10 game, we're still not going to be successful. So I'm going to say it doesn't matter if this Gears game is a banger, if Clockwork Revolution is a banger, which is, by the way, that's the game that Carlos and Chris really looking forward to. When I saw this game, I'm like, this is your exclusive? Nah, son, that's not it for me. But it doesn't matter. I think, yeah, they have a really bad reputation. So if anybody was to buy them, they probably would be better suited to just name it something different. Or, I mean, I don't know. But I just feel like they have a really bad reputation, as Tony would say, the Xbox tax. So whoever buys it better be very aware of what they are buying, if it is up for sale.
Yeah, for sure. All right, good stuff there. Moving on, another question from Mr. Dio. This is the question you referenced earlier, Rich, so you could start this one first. Do Halo, Hellblade, and Beyond Good and Evil 2 survive until the next generation of Xbox?
That is a phenomenal question. Yes. Beyond Good and Evil 2, that game probably isn't going to come out until PlayStation 7 and whatever, if Xbox is still around at that point, because I haven't heard anything about that game. As for Halo, I heard Halo Studios is working on the next Halo. I guess it all depends on how well this Halo campaign evolved does. I mean, releasing that on everything, I'm very curious to see how that does. I think that's coming out next month. So it depends on if it's successful, then maybe they will have some money that they can continue funding this Halo game. And as for Blade, that game, I know that there was rumors that game was in trouble. And then I saw somebody that worked on the team came out and said they're still working on the game. But we haven't seen anything from the game. So until I see it, I'll believe it when I see it, I guess, that it is still around. But I don't think that game is, I don't know how far along they are in development. I don't know if it's a game that we would have to wait until next gen if this console is coming out next year. But I guess we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and to your point, I had to double check on that because I was like, wait, did he mean Hellblade? No, he meant Blade.
No, Blade.
Yeah, as in the Vampire Hunter. I forgot it was in development, yeah. But that goes to show you that, you know, this thing's up in the air right now. It's effectively vaporware, you know.
They also gave him the English accent that he is actually supposed to have, because Blade is supposed to be British.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's not supposed to be he's not American, he's supposed to be British.
Interesting. Guess they changed that.
Well, yeah, when Wesley Snipes became Blade, he became, you know, Wesley Snipes. So
yeah.
Everybody thinks that version of Blade is like comic accurate, which they changed a bunch of shit around.
Well, they changed a bunch of stuff.
He's not supposed to be an American.
That's funny. But yeah, we'll have to see about these games. We don't know. Beyond Good and Evil, I still don't think that's ever going to come out.
That's such a weird, like, I feel like they just—I know they keep, you know, saying that they're still developing it. Like they were saying they were still developing Sea of Thieves when that was with languished in whatever purgatory it was in.
Yeah, right. We'll see. All right, moving on. Monkey Man 652.
O'Brien? Where's O'Brien?
Yeah, not Monkey Man and O'Brien. I was looking for that the other day. Couldn't find it. All right. With the Ocarina of Time remake coming to the Switch 2 sometime this year, could Nintendo release it around the same time as Grand Theft Auto? If so, how would it fare? I don't think it'll have to worry. I don't think the fan bases are the same, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think general Grand Theft Auto players care about Zelda and vice versa. So I don't see a problem.
I mean, the thing about it is that, like, it's an exclusive. It's on its own console.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think if Grand Theft Auto was on,
yes, there you go,
the Nintendo, then we would have that conversation where, like, oh shit, now they have something to go against.
Right? Yeah, I agree with that. Because if you're a Nintendo Switch fan, you're a Switch owner,
yeah,
you're buying that Ocarina of Time.
Almost every single Nintendo fan is going to be buying Ocarina of Time. Don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, if you have that console, for the most part, most of those people are going to probably buy that game.
But you're right. If you had to choose between that and GTA 6, you probably get GTA 6. You're muted.
That's why a lot of those guys are all trying to stay out of the way of that shit, because it's like, they're all on the same level. Attempting to attract the same audience, right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say?
I do agree. I mean, there's a large contingent of Switch people that just play Switch games.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure those are going to be unaffected by the GTA 6 hype. But, you know, people seem to have expendable income somehow. So I'm pretty sure they'll buy both if they can.
Yeah. That's also true.
Yeah.
What do you say, Rich?
Yeah. So I have a prediction. Before I give my prediction, I'm going to respond to the question. I could see Nintendo dropping this in November. Maybe it'll be before GTA or after. And that'll be totally fine because, like y'all said, it is an exclusive. But here is my prediction, is that regardless of if they drop it in November or December, I can guarantee that Carlos will be somewhere on vacation and miss the entire launch, because, you know, we always have this running joke with Carlos missing stuff. You know, when it comes out, he's somewhere else. So that, I think I can guarantee that that will happen.
That's funny.
That's quite possible. Also, they should release it in the same day and do a Barbenheimer thing.
Yeah.
With those two movies or those two games. You know,
Grand Theft Hyrule,
yeah,
be hilarious. Chris, what do you say about that, man?
I mean, you guys pretty much said it. I think the only thing is that you're going to have a level of marketing that Nintendo can't compete with in terms of GTA. You always want to. You know, the Blue Ocean, you're supposed to expand out in the Blue Ocean, right? You need new people to come into their ecosystem and make a system purchase. And this is the in terms of Legend of Zelda, this is the legend, right? This is the game.
Yeah.
So you're going to want it to push console sales and whatnot. The thing is, like, even though, like Carlos said, some people seem to have discretionary income. Yeah, they could buy two titles, but you can't buy two systems. So if there's new customers, and you have the option of, well, you have GTA 6, and it's only available on PlayStation and Xbox, and then you have Ocarina of Time, and you're younger, and you don't have experience with Zelda, you're probably going to go towards GTA 6. So in terms of pulling in new people, that's going to be a quite an uphill battle. But like you said, for the Nintendo fans, they don't even care about GTA. They're just going to buy Ocarina of Time. They're going to be fine. And I'm sure the sales will be fine. They have enough systems in the wild now and not a lot of first-party exclusives right now. So I think they'll be fine out the gate. But in terms of system sales, I would try to steer clear of GTA, but we'll see what they do.
Yeah.
Also, just to bring it a full circle, and a callback, maybe Nintendo fans would care about GTA, because I'm pretty sure that the Switch 2 can play GTA 5. Might as well just support it there.
Yeah, there you go. Give them that consolation prize, you know.
But not on the Switch.
Not on the Switch. I was right, by the way, motherfuckers. I was right.
Oh man.
All right. Moving on here. George W. Cush. Another question about Zelda. Right. How? Remember, George is a little bit younger, so he's always asking us kind of historical questions, which we appreciate. You know, we are the older guys. We're like telling you guys about gaming history. So we will do it at every chance. Even when you don't ask us, we're going to tell you, whether you like it or not. All right. How did gamers react to the reveal of Wind Waker's graphics when it was shown for the first time? Was it as bad as the reactions to the Ocarina of Time remake? I was too young and didn't have the internet, but I remember being extremely disappointed when I first started the game. All right.
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, Chris, dump the whole story. And you got to also tell about the E3 reveal before that. You know, you got to set the whole thing up.
Yeah, the problem is Nintendo set this expectation with the GameCube. The technical demo for the GameCube was Zelda, right? It was Link, and he was fighting this giant spider. The graphics were really good for the time. It didn't look like a cartoon. Let me just say that out the gate. It looked like a game. Link was stylized, more like Ocarina of Time. Just, you know, it looked way nicer, right? And he's fighting this giant spider. They showed pretty the technical
like,
demo.
Pretty much like the Twilight Princess.
Yeah,
you know? He looked like that. Yeah. But it's a technical demo before that game, you know, before Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. So then when they announced Wind Waker, see?
One last thing, it's very important. People at this debut during E3, reporters there were crying. I am not making this up. They saw Link. This was the most realistic looking Link we had seen up until that point. Dudes who were supposed to be professional were literally crying, you know? Anyway, continue.
Yeah, this should look good. So then you had the reveal of Wind Waker, and you see this like cell shaded, flat looking Link, you know, without all the features. Everything looks like a cartoon. The style was completely on the opposite end of what the tech demo that Tony stated got journalists emotional, right? So the emotion was the exact opposite. There was outrage at Wind Waker. There was vitriol. People were like, what is this? It was like just a bait and switch. And, you know, there were articles written that, you know, it's not what we were promised. There was like, you know, theories that maybe they were trying to oversell the GameCube, that really couldn't do the things they said it could do. All sorts of things were thrown out there. Basically, people hated Wind Waker when it launched. That I didn't see any kind of like positive anything when it was announced. Up until it came out, people were hating on it. So that is like the history of it. The love now that you see for Wind Waker did not exist.
No, it didn't.
On GameCube, that came later. That came later for after Twilight Princess, after all that stuff. People found this like renewed liking for the Toon style, and then they put him in Smash Brothers, and that helped. But initially, that wasn't there. There was no good feelings about that, and people felt cheated from the tech demo to that game being announced.
Yeah, no, I remember that well. You know, back in the day, and I don't know if George remembers, the little show called X-Play, they covered this extensively. They were not very happy, just like everybody else. They expected this highly super graphical game, and they got this cartoony game. But like you said, it wasn't until years later where people, you know, kind of saw it outside of that context. We're like, hey, you know, this is a really good game, you know? And obviously right now, people don't even remember that, you know, what the story you just said. It's very reminiscent of Street Fighter III. Street Fighter III is now looked upon as one of the greatest fighting games of all time. It wasn't like that when it launched, and it wasn't like that during its lifetime. The game didn't start really kind of getting a rebound up until Evo Moment 37, which was years after the game had come out. People hated the game. You know, so it's good to look back at gaming history, because some of the games that are revered now were not revered at launch, you know?
Same thing with Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah,
despite it doing as well as it did, it obviously has been reevaluated in the years since, but people did not like the bait and switch of that time. People forget that when that game was advertised, you didn't know that Raiden was going to be in the game until you got to that second chapter, and all of a sudden you're playing a totally different character.
Yeah, and it wasn't. And I was just saying, and it wasn't like you know, you, because there's some people would say, oh, you guys had high expectations. No, when they showed gameplay, it was gameplay of the second chapter in the fucking plant as Snake. When, even though when you play the game, it's Raiden. You do not play Snake at all. So it was literally the equivalent of when you watch the Infinity War trailer and you see Hulk running around with the army. When you see the fucking movie, it's Hulk in a Hulkbuster like armor. It's a complete fake, you know? It wasn't a case of like, oh, you guys had your expectations. No, they lied to us, you know? Granted, with the Zelda situation, it wasn't a lie. It was just a misdirect, kind of. You know, they never said Wind Waker is going to look like this. They never said that, you know, to Nintendo's credit. But people thought it was going to be that. But yeah, I'm glad you asked that because, that was real. That was very, very real. I still remember that very vividly. Go ahead, bro.
It's like the Final Fantasy VII tech demo for the PS3.
Oh, shit. Man, or Gear fucking Killzone? Excuse me? Killzone 2. Remember Killzone 2?
Yeah.
Bro, when I saw that shit, remember, this was 2005. I was not an FPS guy at all. I was like, I'll buy this fucking game day one, you know? Bro, don't get me wrong, the actual game looks very good. But even that reveal trailer still looks better than most games look now. It was a total fucking fake. We bought into it. You know, we bought that shit hook, line, and sinker, you know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. All right, good question, man. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Just real quick, even though I was gaming and I was playing all these things, I was completely unaware of what the noise was.
Oh, for a Zelda?
Yeah, I was not in the know. During that time.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because then I'm not even a Zelda guy. You could not escape that shit, man. Like, not only the reveal of Wind Waker, but the lead up to it, you know? Because, I'm reading all the magazines. I'm watching X Play. So it was just like, oh, my God, this next Zelda is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the whole and for me, it was disappointing because it did look like a cartoony thing.
Yeah.
Like it. Coming after was it Majora's Mask? Was right before it.
It was after. It was much after. But yeah, for your case, it was just you weren't really looking into it because you were obviously old enough to have lived through that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. Obviously, Carlos, you remember other moments like Final Fantasy 13 being revealed at Xbox.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, dude! Megaton.
That was a thermonuclear bomb, man. You know, but that was
what a time to be alive.
Yeah, that's a story for another day. All right, man. Moving on here. Another question from Mr. George W. Cush, also related to Zelda. And I like the way he starts this. For those of you who care, because some of us do not care. do you have a preferred art style for Zelda? For me personally, it's the realistic style, and I couldn't be happier with the remake graphics. I hope they keep all the creepy and dark stuff. Okay, here's my thing. I think I just answered my question because I was going to say, even though I don't care, but I think it's because I don't care that I'm going to give this next answer. Zelda could have whatever graphics it wants. You know, I think that's actually an appealing thing where it's like, hey, a new game may have different graphics. You know, I think that's cool. But I'm not a Zelda guy, so I could be off base there. I'm just coming at it from an outsider's perspective. I like it. I like it when the games look different, you know? And back then I wasn't mad about Wind Waker. I'm like, oh, that looks nice. Yeah. Cause I was distant from it, you know? But yeah, go ahead, Manny.
It's a weird one, especially but the thing about it, like when it comes to, the Zelda games in general, they're almost like, they're called Zelda and they do have, other names, but they all sort of are their own title for the most part that have some connections to whatever the previous title was or some other title within the timeline or whatever. I think at least for Zelda, they can kind of have a little bit of a different style because they it's almost like each game is a reboot. It's almost like, okay, it's another game that has this guy called Link. and all this other stuff in it. But like for a title like Metal Gear, you couldn't change the style. If it was a mainline Metal Gear or mainline Gears of War or any of that sort of stuff, you couldn't do that drastic of a style change, you know? Well, like it's like Horizon Zero Dawn, and then the sequel to the last Horizon Zero Dawn is one that looks like that new multiplayer title.
Yeah,
you know, I think it depends on the situation. As far as styling for the Zelda games, yeah, I kind of go with Tony, where it's like I sort of enjoy the varied nature of them. Like, okay, one's a bit of a cartoony game, one looks like a little chibi game, one looks like some, you know, they all have their things. So yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys?
I like the Twilight Princess art style. It was kind of, you know, more on the realistic side, but it was dark, you know, for the most part it was dark. So I like that, and it had like an Okami type of friend vibe with the wolf.
Yeah, that was fun.
Shout out to that one.
Yeah. Chris, what about you?
Oh, me? I don't have a preferred art style. I mean, Zelda's changed so much in my lifetime. It's like, I just roll with it. I wasn't even mad about Wind Waker. I remember all that stuff. I'm like, it's a cartoon now.
Yeah.
Other people are mad. I wasn't mad. I was just like, it's different. You know, I saw the tech demo, too. I was like, yeah, I understood it's a tech demo. But I everybody had the expectation from there that's what the game would look like, right? It's just to show what the GameCube could do. But yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, like, I guess if I had to pick, I like Ocarina's style. I did enjoy it. I played, initially I played the 3DS one. Right, I never played it on N64, and I always tell the story. I only had two games on my N64. I had Mario 64, and I had Castlevania 64. Dreamcast was calling me, and I took that shit to Funko Land and sold it and got my Dreamcast. So I didn't play anything else on N64 back then. So my first experience with Ocarina of Time, and then later on I played a little bit of Majora's Mask, because Kristen has all that stuff. But I didn't experience it initially. There's doing different styles. When I was working at Nintendo, they had like Link's crossbow training, and he had a kind of a Twilight Princess look in that game. And you have like the chibi look with Link's Awakening and Echoes of Wisdom. All that stuff. But I think Ocarina, I would say that I like that one the best.
Yeah. What do you say, Rich? Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. Uh-oh, he doesn't care about Zelda. All right, fair enough. Move on. We got a sponsored question. Mr. Romudeth is picking up an extra George W. Cush question. So thank you, Mr. Romudeth. Very generous of you, sir. This one's fun. Is there any game that shouldn't be remade because it's already great? Now, originally, my answer would have been Resident Evil 4, but they did remake it, and it's fucking awesome. My other answer would have been Dead Space, but the remake also came out great. So I don't have anything. Also
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, that's another one. So I'm like, I'm going to shut up now, you know? I'm going to shut up now. Because they literally remade three games I said they shouldn't, and they're all fucking amazing, you know? So I'm not going to say nothing. That's my answer. Remake everything, you know? What about you guys? You know, if you ask me for movies, that'd be a different story. But this is not the movie now, you know? Back to the Future. Don't touch that shit. But yeah, what game do you guys think should not be remade because it's already good as is? You know what? I'll still say don't touch Super Mario World. Leave that shit alone. Leave Super Metroid alone, too.
They haven't done it. So they left those games alone.
Yep. Anybody here?
No, I kind of agreed with you on your list. It was for me for RE4 and Dead Space. And I would have said Silent Hill 2 because that was like for me the peak Silent Hill, and they did a good job. Bloober team pulled it off.
They pulled it off.
I don't think anything's off the table anymore because my list of games that I said don't touch and they touched, they did it. They touched them. And I was like, oh, we're gonna touch them. Like, oh, but they actually came out good. So yeah, I don't think there's anything. I mean, there's definitely crap games that could really use a remake where I'd be absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, by the way, that what he specifically said, that is not the question. He goes, do not throw Concord in there. You know?
No.
He anticipated it.
do a redo on Concord.
I would not redo a Concord. That can stay in the junkyard.
Yeah.
Along with Forspoken, you know, with copies of Forspoken and you know, anything else.
Oh man.
Leave it in there.
You got trash in there.
You know that Forspoken game was part of that, you know, Arcadia Crystallis craziness that Versus 13 Final Fantasy was.
Yeah, part it was of? Loosely tied to it. Yes.
It was supposed to be part of that whole craziness. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow.
What? All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. We can move on because it's a tough question. And again, they've already remade all the games we didn't want touched.
Yeah.
All right. Last question for Mr. Matt Wheaton. He actually had two questions, but the first one, listen, all respect to you guys. I sometimes wonder if you listen to all the shows. Just saying.
Because
the question is, what are your thoughts on the whole Stellar Blade Eevee controversy? We literally got that question last week. As a matter of fact, and I didn't even hide it. It was me. I asked the question, you know, and we went into, mm-hmm. into a lot of detail. So, so I'm not dismissing your question, obviously. I'm just saying, please listen to episode 587. We answer the full thing. You know, I even go all in. You know, I make some harsh judgments on some of these people. With my loaded ass question, but yeah, I think you'll like our answer. So the real final question of the night from Mr. Matt Wheaton will be, I wonder if I'm going to be the only one here that answers this. Probably Carlos too. What JRPGs are you most anticipating next year? He says for him, it's Xenoblade Genesis and Persona 6. I hate to burst your bubble. Persona 6 ain't coming out next year. You know, they didn't give you a date, you know?
They gave you a logo.
They gave you a logo, you know? For me, because we do have a date, or at least a release window, Final Fantasy VII Revelation. And I'll say this right now, you know, because it needs to be said every once in a while. JRPGs are so long, and my time is limited. I've narrowed it down to three franchises. I know Riku doesn't like this answer, you know?
Who's this? Who's these franchises?
The three franchises I've narrowed it down to are Final Fantasy, Persona, and Dragon Quest. That's it. And thankfully, these games do not come out very often. So, you know, it's not bombarding me every year with multiple titles. So, I appreciate that.
So pretty much like the way games used to be back in the day, right? Like the big long RPGs never really came back to back to back.
Yes.
You always got them spread apart. You didn't get a Final Fantasy or a Dragon Quest like right next to each other.
Yeah. So. And that's why I give Riku respect, because he plays those Legend of Heroes games. Those drop every single year and they're all fucking long. You know, like I know Riku, I know you want me to get into Trails. The second one is coming. I like the demo, don't get me wrong, but my time is limited, so I have to be very specific, and I'm sticking with the franchise I've always known, you know? And in specific order, it's Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, and Persona in that order, you know, of importance. But like you said, Manny, they don't come out very often, so it's a good thing. And this year, actually, ironically enough, it will be two JRPGs I'm playing this year, because we had a Dragon Quest, and we're getting a Final Fantasy. And I just learned, and this is good news for me, the Final Fantasy Resonance, the 2 HD 2D game, if you skip all the side stuff, 40 hours. Perfect amount of time. You know? That's very good for a JRPG.
Well, yeah, 40 hours seems like an old RPG length.
Yeah, kind of. It depends. Because you could easily play 100 hours of Final Fantasy VII if you wanted, you know? You are generally correct, though.
The Dragon Quest puppet game, how did that... you played that one, right?
Yeah, that was about 60 hours. I'm pretty sure this will take me 60 hours as well. Because they said 80 hours total. I'm not going to do all the side quests. Probably 60 hours, which is kind of my usual for JRPGs. So I'm looking forward to that. But we'll see when I get to play, because, you know, if GTA 6 is going to occupy all my time once that comes out.
Yeah. That's your Western RPG.
Yeah. But at the same time, because I don't think the multiplayer is going to be available this year, you know, I get through the single player of GTA, then I go back to play whatever else, you know, because there's a lot of games coming. So yeah, that's my answer. Final Fantasy VII, because we know for a fact that's coming out next year. What about you, Carlos? Any JRPGs looking forward to next year?
Yeah, pretty much the same ones you are. Persona 4 comes out on this year.
Persona 4, excuse me?
I don't know. That's another one.
Fuck. Oh, man.
If I recall, I thought it was 2027. Because Persona 6, we didn't even get anything as far as a year, did we?
No, we didn't get nothing. So it's called Revival, right? If it is?
Yes, ooh, Persona 4 Revival.
Comes out 2 days after my birthday, February 18th.
Oh, excuse me?
There you go.
Oh, we know what to get you, yo.
There you go. Okay, so that'll be my winter RPG and then Final Fantasy with a spring RPG, because that is coming spring. And literally spring could be June 20th, you know, for all we know. But yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Final Fantasy VII for sure. That, I mean, it's the final one too. So
yeah, it's the final Fantasy.
It's the final Fantasy VII. You got to finish the fight. And has anything else coming out 2027 that's been announced? I don't know.
Yeah. Dragon Quest 12 ain't dropping next year. You know, I know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we shall see. All right. Anybody else?
Shout out to Riku.
Yeah, shout out to Riku. I don't think the rest of us played. Well, Rich plays JRPGs now, so I want to hear his thoughts.
Yes, sir. And by the way, I did walk back in. I had to step out for a quick second when you mentioned Zelda. You are correct in what you said, Tony. Don't care. My apology to the Nintendo fans, though. Yes, but no, absolutely not. Yeah, I think the answer is Final Fantasy by default, because like you said, we know that's actually coming out next year. Persona 6, maybe, like I said, we got a trailer this year with text, so maybe we'll get a trailer with gameplay next year, and then you will find out shortly thereafter it's coming out in 2028. And the Dragon Quest game, that also, I don't believe that's coming out next year either, unless it's towards the end of the year. So yeah, by default, I would say it's probably Final Fantasy.
Nice. All right. I don't think the rest care. Manny, I know you don't play JRPGs anymore. You've made that very clear.
I don't play. It's funny. I used to love those things when I was younger, but when my life got busy,
you know,
I sort of stopped playing them. But I still do play Kingdom Hearts games, but I don't really consider them RPGs.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know.
And by the way, it's funny. I talked to Riku about that. He's like Manny only plays Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, yeah, man. You know, that's the franchise for him. Everybody has that one franchise, you know? Because yeah, remember, his thing he wants us to just play the Trails games. That's why.
That's the thing. It's like, I just can't, like, it's like me and you have switched seats.
Yes.
But it's not that I don't like them. It's more the fact that I don't want to invest the time.
It's anymore, too much.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's too much. Chris, I don't know if you don't talk about JRPGs, really, so I don't know what your answer would be.
I feel like you stopped around the time when I stopped, dude.
Yeah, and you know, with Olivia, I can't get into anything too involved anymore. You know, I have, you know how many I have on the back burner? I heard you talk about Dragon Quest XI. I got it. It's just sitting in the
floor. I don't know what I'm doing.
So yeah, man. There's so much I want to play and I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, I got into Dragon Quest because of Manny, because of 8, you know? But he, no time. It's a lot, you know.
I'd like to see them do a nicer version of that game.
Maybe next, Manny, because you know, I don't know how well the 7 did. If 7 did well, maybe they'll do a nicer version of that. I wonder if they'll do the like make it like puppets. I hope not. I want that Akira Toriyama style. I mean, they're all Akira Toriyama, but you know what I mean, like the animated.
No,
style.
But 8 definitely had that. Like it looked like an animated show. Like,
yeah,
it looked like animation, cel shaded.
Yeah, so I hope they do like that. Yeah. All right, man. What's going on, Otaku Man, joining us just as we're about to wrap up the show. But shout out to you, brother. You know.
Yo.
All right, man. Let's do some pimping. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so Summer Game Fest took place last weekend. I have been working on some content for that. So you will finally start to see some stuff this week. The Coalition.com, The Coalition Gaming. a couple of things were under an embargo that I couldn't talk about either. So yeah, just stay tuned throughout the week. You'll see videos starting to come out. I want to say Tuesday, but it may happen before that. It all depends. Outside of that, yes, myself, our very good friend, Mr. Gary Swaby, returned, and Dana and I, we recorded the recent episode of Power, a very controversial season opener, I would say, and you should definitely check out our review if you are curious on thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition YouTube. And lastly, we'll give a shout out to Mr. Adam Vail, the TV Terminal. This is the hardest working man when it comes to recording all of these reviews of TV shows. So definitely check out his YouTube channel. I have been covering that show from with him. Also a very interesting show. But definitely show your support for all this content. And we got a lot more stuff coming for you guys. So stay tuned.
All right. And I'll do a little quick plug for myself because I actually can't talk about this. I interviewed the creative director of Control Resonant, talked to him for half an hour, a lot of cool stuff that he told me about the game. So that'll be posted up on Tom's Guide sometime this week. It'll be a written review. Although I do have half an hour of like audio that I'm like, ooh, maybe I could use this for something. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And check out Control Resonant because that game's going to be awesome. Please check out that game because I don't want it to be lost, bro. I don't want it to be lost because it comes out a week after Wolverine, bro. Like, fuck, you know? And I may tell you some behind the scenes, or I'll tell you this one right now. Manny, that question you wanted me to ask, I had to ask the director because literally the actor was just leaving as I entered. So I got to say hi to him for like a quick second, but that was it.
Okay.
You know, Sean is his name, but I did ask your question, which is kind of cool, but I wanted, you know, him to answer, but you know, he was literally just leaving.
I mean, at least from what I remember you saying, it was either he was going to be there or he wasn't going to be there. He was just going to be the director.
Yeah. I also had some mad keeping the real conversations about the game industry, but that I will not talk about on here. Because I was like, I want to talk to you guys off here about some of the stuff happening in the industry. Good dudes. You know, go check out Control Resonant. We will talk more about the game as we get closer.
They didn't do it at the oldest house in Manhattan.
They did at the Roxy Hotel. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there pretty you go. Dope. Yeah.
Yo, by the way, your boy got lucky, man. Because after an hour after I got home, the heavens came down. Manny, I know you felt some of that over there in PA, you know?
Oh, yeah, we just had it, right? Yeah.
That rain was crazy. I mean, it's kind of happening now, too. That rain was crazy, you know? I hear it. But anyway, hey, let's get out of here, man. So make sure I'll throw it on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang. You guys are having some interesting conversations about Xbox. The memes are funny. and of course, you could check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. We shall return on Thursday. Later.
Laters. Peace.